when you experience that first trauma, you make the decision, in my case, I'm not valuable. And then your brain is trying to survive. So it creates this pattern of defense to protect you from the world so that you don't experience that same trauma again. And then you go through life looking for evidence that I'm not valued is true. So the identity, you build your personality around your defense mechanism. So the root decision manifests in three ways. You're looking for evidence that it exists. So someone can raise their eyebrow and you're like, see, I knew it, they don't value me. Or you'll manufacture situations. So you'll set people up to give you a certain outcome so that you can be right that you're not valued, and then you can protect yourself with a defense mechanism. And when you attract someone who values you, it feels like a threat to your survival because you can't believe that you're valued. Otherwise, you're going to die because you can't run your defense mechanism. So you push them away.
I never knew the importance of work-life balance until I had my son. I wanted to create a platform to inform single mother, lady bosses, that you can do it. This podcast is all-inclusive, safe haven-based, designed for women, a woman supporter to grow in all areas of their lives. I want to talk about fashion, health and wellness, work balance, work life, entrepreneurship, gender roles, stereotyping, single motherhood, and so much more. Thank you all for listening to Evie Unbounded. And once again, I'm your loving host, Evie Jane.
We are back with another episode of Evie Unbounded. Today's guest is a special girlfriend of mine who I met through my own personal development spiritual journey. She's a coach and consultant who believe in discovering one's true purpose, understanding it, and using it to drive professional and personal success. She believes in pushing yourself past our boundary and reach self-actualization to solve the bigger issue that plague our humanity. She's also a speaker who attends corporate conference to deliver on topics such as resilience, mental health and well-being, diversity, company culture, and leadership. Okay, I just telling you all the resume about my really good girlfriend. She's my soul sister, Linda. And then I feel like I'm going to do my way, because it's my podcast. And I feel like this is so formal. And Linda, she really is my soul sister for another mister. So I'm going to throw away this play by play the point because I know her too well. I don't share a bed with that many people. And I have to say, she's like one of the very few that I would share a room and share a bed with. Is that right, Linda?
It's right, but I don't want anyone getting any ideas. We're heterosexual women that can enjoy each other's company and sleep platonically in the same bed.
Okay. By the way, we're both single, so.
We are. I know, I don't need to start blocking things.
Okay. Linda, tell me what you do, and I know what you do, right? Because being your friend, I get the advantage of getting all your advice and helping me to discover my own issue and then trying to improve myself with personal development. But I feel like the way I explained it is hard for me to explain it because of my personal experience. So I think the best, the most fairest way, the clear way is for you to tell us what you actually do and for us, for women. And I know you're also helping men. This is an awesome thing you do. So let's start with the women because this podcast show is about how to help other women, empowering women, which I love. It's a topic I'm really believe in. So, and I know you too. So tell us what you do.
Okay, so we're both career women. So what I'll do is I'll talk about the challenges that I think that women experience, and then I'll talk about the work I do and how I help them overcome that. So what I have found and what I had to release and work on myself is that a lot of women have created this identity of needing to be strong and needing to have it all together. So in that, they show up in a lot of inauthentic ways. They think it's authentic because they feel like they have to be a certain way in order for them to make it in their career and make it in their businesses. But it's inauthentic because there is a little girl inside of them that wants to be soft and wants to receive love and wants to be able to be emotional, but they don't allow space for that. So every time we dishonor those parts of ourselves, we kind of break down our sense of self. And the way that it shows up is sometimes we try to people please to have people like us. So we're really loose and compromising on our boundaries. We exert ourselves and do too much to the point we're on the verge of breaking down, and we don't know how to give ourselves what we need so that we give from a full cup. We don't allow ourselves to be fully self-expressed because we don't want to be seen as aggressive or forceful. Or so it really keeps us small. So we try to play big in a really contained, small way, which ultimately makes us play small. So what I do is I kind of break the illusion of the facade that has been created and people have been gotten addicted to. And I do that by, just so that you can understand the background, I've been meditating since the age of 11. So my mom has given me a spiritual foundation, and she's always told me to turn within. And I had this knowledge and I was applying it, but at the age of 25, I experienced the mental breakdown and I was suffering from clinical depression, had two failed suicide attempts. And I started to go on a journey with a coach to unravel the identity I had created. And I started realizing how the mind works. So in my coaching practice, what I have identified is that every single human being has one root limiting belief that they've made, which is some version of I'm not enough. And it could, mine is I'm not valuable. Other clients, it could be I'm not acknowledged, I'm not respected, I'm not supported. Whatever decision they've made has come from a key traumatic experience that they've gone through. And I help them identify what that one root limiting belief is by looking at painful experiences from their past as far as they can remember. And what starts to happen is I ask about 7 or 8 questions for each event, and we start to build up a pattern. So we all have only one pattern and we have one root belief. And so there's a lot of misconception in the personal development space that we have multiple beliefs and we have multiple patterns. So it's really difficult to try and like figure out, okay, why am I doing this in this area and why am I doing that? My process helps you see, oh my gosh, I'm giving you the same answer for each situation. Because when you experience that first trauma, you make the decision, in my case, I'm not valuable. And then your brain is trying to survive. So it creates this pattern of defense to protect you from the world so that you don't experience that same trauma again. And then you go through life looking for evidence that I'm not valued is true. So the identity, you build your personality around your defense mechanism. So the root decision manifests in 3 ways. You're looking for evidence that it exists. So someone can raise their eyebrow and you're like, see, I knew it, they don't value me. Or you'll manufacture situations. So you'll set people up to give you a certain outcome so that you can be right that you're not valued, and then you can protect yourself with the defense mechanisms. And when you attract someone who values you, it feels like a threat to your survival because you can't believe that you're valued. Otherwise, you're going to die because you can't run your defense mechanism. So you push them away. So what I do once I help people figure out what the root belief is and what the pattern is I train them to become hyper aware of what they're doing subconsciously, automatically, all the time, so that they can start separating their conscious self from their child, their unhealed self. And once they can start seeing the separation, it's easy to start stepping out of the pattern and breaking it. And once they start breaking it, then they start becoming more whole and they start fulfilling their needs in terms of the inner child needs that they have. And then they experience more confidence, more presence, more peace, more joy, more love, and things start happening. Their intuition is heightened. They start seeing synchronicities in their reality because they're not constantly on this Ferris wheel of survival. So hopefully that makes sense, but that's essentially what I do.
No, it does. And I'm so glad that you've actually break it down, because I kind of know what you do, but I don't know exactly what you do. So you explained it very well. So my question is, and I'm sure a lot of audience would like to know, first of all, how your treatment plan, or I don't know how you call it, treatment plan, or the way you do it is identify what their root and belief, right? So how long that take for you to identify that? So if somebody who's seeking for your consultation or for your help, how long do you expect to find that route?
It's a 4-hour process when done one-to-one. It's a 7-day process when done in a group. So it's intense because it's like 10 years of therapy into one session. When we get to the root, you never need to go back into past ever again, because now you know exactly why you're doing everything you're doing. Then the second phase is me teaching you how to become a master of yourself. So everything we do, 95% of everything we do is subconscious, and we're only conscious 5% of the time. What I'm doing is going deep into your subconscious, figuring out what the root is, and teaching you how to bring that 95% into your conscious awareness, so that you're not just kind of being a reaction to life and wondering why you keep producing the same results over and over again.
Okay, so the first identify your root is a one-on-one consultation for 4 hours. If we do it like a group, it's a 7-day. So what I do after that, because I want to make sure once I identify my root, or once I identify what my issue or my belief is, how long or how am I going to continue with the treatment to make sure I'm hypersensitive to see my pattern or break the pattern.
Okay, so the second phase is the self-mastery phase. It's a full week phase. And what I do is I build upon 4 different tools that you need, and they're the only tools you'll need to become your own coach. So the first phase is about you building hyper awareness. So I send you out into life and I get you to become really.
I don't want to go out the real world.
Well, you've got no choice. You're in it. So yeah, I'm like, instead of you now focusing on just being on the go, you have to connect to your body and experience, like, when am I feeling a low vibrational emotion? Because every time you're triggered, you are running your defense mechanism. And then once you start realizing, oh, when I'm triggered, I'm interpreting that the event that's happening is a threat of making me feel like I'm not valued. Then you can start deciphering what you're making it mean from the reality of the situation. This is the reason why you can have 10 people in a room, play them one clip, and they have 10 different interpretations, because their root belief is skewing the perception that they have in life. So what I do is start getting you hyper aware of how you're not actually reacting to the natural unfolding of life. You're constantly interpreting things that are happening through the lens of your root decision and your pattern. Once you become aware of that, I start teaching you how to create separation between the automatic thoughts and reaction and just being present. And in that little gap that you create, it gives you a split second to get into your conscious mind and then say, okay, well, I know that I'm feeling these emotions and thinking these thoughts because of my root trigger. So if I was aligned to my purpose, which is the opposite of that, and I'll just give you a quick explanation of that. So at the end of the 4-hour process, you'll get a purpose statement, which is, I'm committed to myself and others feeling valued, but when I'm triggered, I feel like I'm not valued. So what life is usually teaching you, so someone who felt like they didn't belong as a child, they become really good at making others feel a sense of belonging. So usually your pain is the gift that you have and the expression that you have of love on the world, but you can't be an expression of that gift to the extent in which you're still being held back by your pain. So in the moment that you become aware, okay, I'm triggered, and you can create a little bit of separation, you can consciously coach yourself into asking, if I was valuing myself, what do I need in this moment? And how can I take that action in line with making someone else feel valued? And by doing that, you interrupt your automatic pattern, you take a new action, and your brain literally thinks you're going to die because you're doing something against what you would normally do. But if you commit and follow through, then it says, okay, we didn't die, we're still safe, so maybe we can release the hold of this pattern. And just being able to do that continuously with different situations that trigger you allow you to reprogram your neurology around that pattern, which is what frees you up. And then you'll start realizing the things that used to trigger you before don't trigger you. But it's a constant way. So the 4 steps are: become aware of when you're triggered. The second step is get present so that you separate yourself from the trigger. The third step is coach yourself on what's actually happening in comparison to what you're making it mean. And the fourth step is take action in alignment with your purpose. And when you do those 4 steps continuously, every time you catch a trigger and you interrupt it, you'll start seeing that things just start changing in your world really quickly.
How effective is that for the 4 weeks? Is a 4-week enough for one to change the pattern? Because if this is something that they've been growing up with, right, or the belief they obviously hold it for a very long time and how to deal with their world, is it a 4-week would be enough?
So the 4 weeks is to learn the tools, because you can't learn it all in one go. So 1 week you'll do one tool, then next week you'll build against that tool. Third week you'll build against that tool. Fourth week, because I'm trying to get you to get used to it. But then the final part of the program is that you have 2 months of intense coaching with me. And that's where you start to integrate it. So I will ask you, what is the ultimate goal, or what's the ultimate thing that you haven't been able to create in your life? So it could be attracting the love of my life. It could be growing my business. It could be whatever it is that really matters to you that you haven't been able to achieve. Then I'll work with that and I'll get you to take really big actions in alignment to getting closer to that, which will bring up all of your defense mechanisms. And then you get data to work with. And so every week you'll be taking actions and monitoring and using the tools to constantly interrupt. So that then works the muscle to the point where I've designed the program so that you don't need to be reliant on anyone. You become your own coach. But in order for you to get to that stage, you need my guidance for a little while so that you can start being able to identify the difference between your identity and your ego and your present self, your higher self.
No, I think that's a really good program, and that's fair, because I think ultimately a good treatment or a good program is not relying on other, and really to make that is your automatically thinking pattern and then get rid of the old one that doesn't serve you. So I know your background before is the corporate world, and how that corporate world switched to individual, how that making difference, or what's the difference for you, and does that make any difference from that to individual?
In terms of working with corporate or in terms of my personal experience in coaching?
Well, the program itself, right? Because this program is more for individual and small group. How that is different from the corporate one? Because I know that's your background starting.
Yeah. So I had a recruitment business, and then the work I was doing with corporations was around company culture. And the reason I moved to individuals is because I was applying this process, where it wasn't as structured and refined, to CEOs. And then they were seeing a lot of business results in their company. And then they lost focus on working on themselves, and then made it about the company goals, and kind of lost track that it's because they were focusing on themselves that they were seeing all of these different results. So I don't necessarily apply this program company wide. And I work with executives and business owners and CEOs individually to take them through this process so that they could be better leaders for their organizations to move them forward. If I was working in company culture, depending on what the company asks, I would run them through another program that is not, this is very individualized.
Got it. And you're right. I think that whatever you're going to change anything as a CEO, as a leader of the company, it has to start from the top. So if they can make the difference on the very top, the leadership and will follow, or should go through, right? When you go to the rest of the corporation. Okay, so how big the large group, because I know this can be individual or up to small group, and how many in the small group if I want to join a group?
I can only do a maximum of 10 people at a time. But what I have done, I've been doing women's circles in Tulum, where people who want to gain insight, they either can't commit either financially or time-wise to the full program, but they want to get insight to their patterns. I won't be able to figure out their root belief. What I'm able to do is quickly identify what you've experienced, some of the coaching. I can quickly identify key patterns that are being run. So I've now moved that online to allow people to kind of access these coaching circles online, where they can bring their issues and get some coaching.
So women's circle, I know you just starting offer something to the men. Is there like a men's circle or, yeah?
There was a men's circle. I find that men find this work a lot more confrontational, because there's no, so it's really interesting speaking to you, because you know me, you know my coaching style is quite confronting. It's like there's no fluff. It's like, this is what's going on. Let's go there. And I think that as a woman, what men struggle with is that there is a society pressure that they need to be strong. So to speak to someone who is listening between the lines of what they're saying and almost forcing them, I'm not intentionally forcing them, but forcing them to look at things that they probably wouldn't even look at with their male friends, let alone the stranger woman, it's harder to get the the men to access the information that they need to access because they're just resistant. So for a long time, I'm dealing with the resistance before they kind of give in or they kind of become more open and surrender and say, okay, like you've got a point. I can see where you're coming from. So for me, I think I get more excited about working with women because we are closer to our emotions, or it has been socially acceptable to connect with your emotions. So it makes it you can't do this work by being close off to your emotions. And on the male side, it's tend to be seen as weak to be emotional. So it's a harder process.
So for people who would decide to take this program, then they definitely need to be ready to go for it and to be willing to open up and deal with the emotion, right? To make it effective. So does men and women, is still we all sharing the same root of issue, or do you think men have different issues from women?
Every single human being I've worked with to this point has made some decision of I'm not enough. And it manifests how we act that out to protect ourselves from being caught out, that's what we believe, manifests in different ways based on whatever our trauma is. But foundationally, we're either operating from a perfect, whole and complete place, and that's the place where you are fully present. There's no past, there's no future, there's no worry. You're in your power, you feel invincible, you feel like you can do everything. And then there's that other side of us, which is this unhealed inner child that didn't feel like they were loved the way that they need to be loved, whether it's from their parents or the school teacher or their big brother or whatever the case may be. There was an event that we have made a decision that I'm not enough. And now we're going throughout the world looking for evidence of that. So it doesn't matter who it is. I've probably run about 70 people through the program, and 100% every single time it's the same root in terms of the ultimate meaning, the decision is unique to the individual.
Well, I only know mine because Linda helped me to identify that. So I'm still working on that.
You don't actually know yours. You know your pattern. You don't know your root.
Okay, I do know my pattern, but I actually, I think I know what it is. But I was sure. This is if it helps other women, you know. I think my belief is that I'm not worth it. So I think that might be it, but so
don't know. Like, I don't even know what it is. It's usually something completely opposite to what people think it is. I've worked with many AFESs. We're both part of the AFES community. And there are healers that have been in this work for 35 years. And they're like, Linda, I've done Landmark. I've done lots of different programs. I know what mine is. And then we do the process. And they're like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. So we don't know what yours is, but we know that you do have a pattern of not. But again, you've just given an example of what every person feels. So you would say that, and everyone listening is like, I think that's mine too.
Okay, don't listen to me, audience. This is my guess. So you still have to go to the desk with Linda, so you guys can sit down and figure that out. So don't listen to me. So what is your, if you don't mind to share?
Mine is I'm not valued.
Okay. And how you come to that conclusion? What was that make you identify that?
I put myself through my own process.
So you even put yourself in your own process. How you even discover that? How you come up with this program, I guess?
Yeah, it's interesting. It actually started when I was in LA. Remember the last time I was in LA? I was staying with Gary.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We were talking. I think I went out and I met a friend of mine, and she was talking about how she's lost her purpose. And I remember that's how I felt with my recruitment business. I just woke up one morning and I didn't care and I didn't want to go in. I was like, and for some reason that conversation had purpose ringing in my head. And then I went back to Gary's and I was having a conversation with him and sharing with him that like, I can't get this purpose thing out of my head. And then I said to him, well, if I believe in my spiritual beliefs make me feel like our soul knows the lesson that we want to learn in this lifetime. So we pick our parents, we pick the situations we go through because it's a perfect recipe to give us the trauma that we have so that we can learn the lesson that we need to have. So I thought, what if our purpose is linked to our pain? So I asked him, can I do an experiment with you? And he said, yeah. And
I said, oh my God, you did the experiment with Gary?
Gary, you can ask him. Yeah, that's how it started.
Okay, go on.
So I said to him, like, give me some examples of your childhood. And all of this, it wasn't a structure then. So it was all intuitive. So I was saying to, I was asking him.
Oh, audience, I have to add this thing. You know how we all have a special gift? Okay. So Linda's special gift is she can just tell, like, she can just say something and you're like, how do you know? I mean, I don't even know what that gift called. I mean, Linda, what is that called?
I have no idea. I was speaking to the coach that's training with me at the moment. And I was saying that I think that I struggle with like written, well, I feel like I've never been tested as dyslexic, but I feel like I've got this photographic memory. But beyond that, I also feel people. So even though they're saying something, I can feel what they really mean. It's weird. I used to freak my employees out when I had the recruitment business because I would go into work and I would sit down and everyone would be quiet. And I would say, is everyone sick at the same time? And then they'd say, yes, and continue working. And then my assistant would say, how did you know that? You just came in. You didn't answer any questions. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't. And I will like, yeah. So I don't know how it happens or what happens. I have a feeling that it's because with all of the work I've done on myself since, experiencing my breakdown, I've become more and more present. So I'm not so taken away with people tell me that I have a presence about me and I have a quiet confidence and they feel really calm around me. And I think it's because I've mastered the art of being present most of the time. And when you're fully present, you get to sense things more because you're not distracted or you're not like leaving the present moment by being in your past thoughts. So maybe that I don't know what the answer is. These are all speculations, but it is, I guess, one of my superpowers being able
to. It is your superpower. I mean, like I said, when I first met Linda, well, I found her intimidating everyone. You guys can't see her, but she's beautiful and she's super tall. And so I'm super short. So me and her together, it's just like hilarious, but we love each other. And, yeah, and she just had this special gift where she can just sense things and she would call you on it. And then everybody, every time gets shocked by what she said. And I personally witnessed it. So I don't even know what that superpower is called, but she just can tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the best way to describe it. You just kind of tell them the story. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm like, or I hold on to things. I've got a really good memory. So you might have said something 1 week ago and then you say something to contradict it. And I'll be like, 1 week ago you said X, Y, Z. Now you're saying this. So which one is it? And everyone's just kind of like, oh, what's going on? But yeah, my ex used to call me FBI. He would never win an argument because I'd be like at 3 o'clock on Saturday. But yeah, you were asking how I came up with a process. So I started asking Gary about his past experiences and we started like seeing a pattern and he was like, oh my gosh, this is interesting. And I was like, so because you felt this way, he never felt special. I'm sure he won't mind me share. Okay.
We don't know which Gary he is. There's many Gary out there. It's a very common Gary.
True, but people that know both of us might know which Gary we're talking about.
There's so many Gary out there.
True. All right. So yeah, we were talking about some of his past experiences and then he started realizing how, and then I started asking him about things he was triggered by and he started realizing that things that hurt him in his past were the only things that were hurting him in the future if he was perceiving that the same thing was happening. And then I asked him what he was good at. And then we started realizing that he was good at making other people feel what he didn't feel. And I was like, hold on, maybe this is a fluke, but remember I said to you that our pain equals our purpose. The things that you said that hurt you, you've become really, really good at doing for others. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is true. So that's kind of how it started. And then every single person I tested that with, it was uncanny. It was like there was a match with everyone. Then I would be like, oh, okay, well, I've helped you find your route. That's all you need. Go fly away and be happy. And then people will come back to me and would be like, Linda, I'm seeing it everywhere and I don't know what to do with it. Help me. And then I was like, okay, what do I do when I'm triggered and how do I interrupt it? And that's when I create the second phase. And then I was like, okay, my program is I help you find your route. I teach you the tools, you go ahead. And then people kept coming up to me after and they were like, I was getting all of these results and I started to see, but now I've like slipped back into my old patterns. And I thought, okay, let me add a third stage where I continually coach them so that they have time to integrate it. and then they'll be able to fly. So that's kind of how the program has built up.
No, this is great. This is like the, I don't know if the audio ever followed Joe Dispenza, you know, like the advanced meditation, advanced follow-up, advanced meditation. I just get better and better, right? Because as you continue to do that, you're like, okay, so I get everybody here, what's the next step? And then here's the thing, what we can do, and continue to learn and, you know, to hopefully doesn't have to depend on you, and then we can work on that on our own. But, you know, as human, we continue learning. So at least what identifies it. So do you have the woman group? Do you have a men's group where it is for men that does, you know, have the courage to do it? Men, if you listen to this podcast.
The online circle. So my programs accepts men and women. So they are mixed. And the online circles are men and women, but there's only one man on it right now. So I only launched it last week. So, but again, that just shows you the ratio. And there are men who prefer to work with me one-on-one because they don't want to be in a group. I did a talk in Tulum to 80 people, and I did live coaching, kind of like Abraham Hicks. You get people to stand up, talk about their issues. So as I was doing live coaching, it was only women that put their hands up to come up. Even though the men were like, they were captivated and looking, but it's just so prevalent, even in certain spaces, because Tulum is the spiritual personal development space, and men have, there's men groups here, and you would think that they're used to it, but in front of women, it just, whoa, it's something. Yeah.
Wow. So the men still not sharing. Okay. But you know, as you know, sometimes when you share the story, that's how you learn, because even if you're not sharing the story, you learn by listening and stuff.
So yeah, I have many clients that are men who are one-to-one. I've worked with athletes, I've worked with CEOs, but I think they're more comfortable in a closed space than in a group.
So you also do one-on-one anyway, right? So yeah. if you know, male audience, they feel uncomfortable to be in a group, they can always reach out to you for one-on-one. And what's the best way to sign up? What's your email address or website? Or do I just give them your social media handler so they can just find you on Instagram? How can they look up to your program and sign up for the next program?
Right now, because a lot of my work has grown on referrals and recommendations, so I need to get better at social presence in terms of a website. I'm working on it now. But they can email me at Linda at lindaumbagu.com, and they can follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram at lindaumbagu, on Facebook, just my name, LinkedIn, my name, Linda Umbagu. But yeah, I take on, because my clients are not kind of ongoing, I have phases where I take on one-on-one clients, and if I get over capacity, then there's like a 2-3 month waiting time before I can take on new clients. And then the group program, I think the next one that I'm launching is going to be towards the end of the year, around November, maybe December.
Okay. So the next program for the group, the 7-day, and then after that, it's the 4-week program with the end of this year, sometime in November.
Yeah, so it's a 3-month program. The first phase is 7 days. The second phase is 4 weeks. And the last phase is 2 months.
Okay, so that's the period. And then, so people should look. So right now, you still need none of your program, so you're not done yet. So the next one's going to be sometime in November?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put Linda's social handler and her email address on the podcast on the bottom. So you guys can definitely look it up and send her a message. And she would post her next program soon. And as everybody here, it's come time in November. So just get ready. Do some changes before the end of this year. I also wanted to say that we were talking about purpose earlier. How did you find your purpose? It just came to you? Like, I'm sure that's one of the questions many of us ask, like, how do you get so lucky that purpose called to you, came to you, and you came up with this amazing program that helping others? Like, how does West of us to find that purpose?
Yeah, no one's going to like the answer I give. because I think it's I think this is one of the things that the challenges that we have a lot in the conversations that I have with you. You're just like always trying to figure it out. And My belief is that your purpose reveals itself to you. You don't find your purpose because whenever you're searching for something, the only parameters you have is data from the past. So you don't really allow yourself to be open to what the universe is presenting to you. And if I had my way, I wouldn't be a coach. I'm like the eldest of seven children. I've been taking care of my siblings from a really young age. My mom's second husband was schizophrenic 3 months after she married him. So from the age of 8 years old, I was working and cooking and cleaning and doing homework as well as trying to educate myself. I feel like I raised myself. So when I was working out of my depression and my coaches were telling me that you should be a coach, you'd make a really good coach, I was like, hold on, I've been taking care of people all my life and this is what's caused my breakdown. And now that I'm healing myself, you want me to now go and get people to pay me to take their issues on? Why would I do such a thing? So I rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. But in my spiritual journey, what I've become really good at is trusting my intuition. So when things are showing up in my reality all the time, I feel like source, God, communicates in different ways. So if so many people are saying it to me and there are so many opportunities that are leading me in that way and I'm resisting it and everything I'm trying to do that is outside of that is not working, let me surrender and just try this out and see what happens. And then when I tried it out, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm really good at it. And like in terms of pain becoming purpose, I have been working on, my mom was like, I was one of the only children that she was taking to a meditation class with her. And I would fall asleep listening to a Christian mystic called Joel Goldsmith. So I was absorbing all of this information. Then I went through my breakdown and started understanding the mind. And I was prepared, my life was preparing me to do the work that I do now. When people say to me, where did you study? I'm like, the school of life. And if I had my way and I was trying to like avoid that, I'm like, I don't want to do that, but everything is pointing me in that direction, I would not be in this position where I get so much fulfillment from just seeing and helping people experience the freedom that they experience when they do this work. So it hasn't been easy. It sounds easy because I am where I am now, but there was a lot of surrendering and doing crazy things like walking away from my business, not knowing what I was going to do, running out of money. And even in the midst of all of that, I was still traveling the world and going to A-Fest. And my sister would say to me, like, I've never seen a broke person that's as rich as you. And I never did anything. Things would just show up for me, because I was trusting my path and just literally tuning into what felt good, what felt expansive, even though it was scary. And every time I took that action, it was almost like something else unfolded and something else unfolded and then something else unfolded. And it's like, okay. So this is how you align to your purpose. You literally surrender and you allow yourself to be used as a vessel. But that takes you letting go of your limiting beliefs that are trying to keep you in survival mode all the time. Because when you're present, you can truly enjoy what life has to offer and let it unfold as it's supposed to, rather than you fighting against life to fit it into a mode that will keep you safe.
That's beautiful. Why would people love this answer? That was a great answer.
Because it's like, well, what does that mean? How do I do it? It's like that. Reason why
surrender, stop controlling. That's what it means. I was saying for them.
All right. Well, when I say to you, surrender, stop controlling.
I know. I'm working on that.
It's not easy, right? You don't know what you're like, but what do I do? How do I do it? It's like we are so. The brain is supposed to be a tool that we use to solve problems in our human reality, but the brain has taken over. So it's now what controls us. So telling someone to surrender means don't trust your mind. So even though you feel absolute fear, even though you feel like you're going to die, even though you're having all of these thoughts that seem like they're trying to protect you or keep you safe or anticipate danger, ignore all of that and just be present. It's a big ask for people, which is why you kind of have to do the work to get you to that point. And when you start seeing evidence of the results that you get when you allow yourself to do that, then your brain, it's easier for you to manage your brain and say, okay, even though everything in me is literally shaking from fear and like being angry or wanting to resist this, I'm going to push through anyway. And then your brain says, oh, okay, I guess you're boss. I'm going to give you the steering wheel of life, of your life. And then that's when you start to get control. That's when it becomes easier to surrender. So I used to be a control freak too. So I know that it's not an easy feat. And especially the sort of people that will be listening to your podcast or other executives I work with, I don't go straight to talking about surrender to them, because it's a woo-woo concept. Like, let's just deal with what you're dealing with now.
It's scary. It's very scary. And when you say you, it's almost like a fear of, it's like you're going to die. It really is like that. Because I have to go do that where my body actually trembling and shake physically. The idea of letting go physically, my body was reacting to it. I was like trembling and shaking. So yes, you're right. That is a very hard thing to do. Well, Linda, that's awesome. You're right. That was a really good answer, but it's really hard for us actually to take that and then to practice on it. And then I think that's one way, you know, if we want to find purpose, we really need to learn to surrender and trust our self-intuition more. And I don't know why we don't trust ourselves more. I mean, I think a lot of time, if we really just pay attention within, the answers just kind of give it. And then I don't know why we don't trust it. So.
Who teaches you to turn within?
Meditation.
Yeah, but who teaches you to turn within? And this is the thing, right? Meditation right now, it's fantastic and it helps. But the way that it's used is I meditate for 20 minutes in the morning, or even if you're like an avid meditator, I meditate for 1 hour in the morning, but then you go into life and meditation doesn't follow you into life. No, so that meditation hasn't done anything, because where you interrupt your patterns is in life. So if you're able to bring that sense of presence into everything you do, that's true meditation. Meditation isn't sitting alone in a quiet room with a recorded like guide telling you.
I can just hide in my cave.
You can, but that's not where the changes get made. That's why it's difficult. You had nowhere in life for you to, like, I was very lucky. And my mom used to, because I had my childhood things and I used to argue with my mom, and she was like, Linda, I gave you the best gift I could give you. I gave you meditation and I gave you the teachings of God. And she was absolutely right. I was taught from an early age. We used to have on Sundays, it was quiet day. None of our siblings were allowed to talk until 12 o'clock. We used to have to keep quiet and reflect. And then when we would go to her with questions that she felt wasn't her place to answer, she would say, take it to meditation. So I had the foundation of turning within and trusting myself, which is why when someone tells me something and it's not aligned, I don't care if I sound crazy. It's a no for me, but we're not designed in that way. Everything else is about fitting in. I need to look. You were telling me about an event that you went to and you would get into a place where you started feeling calm in yourself. But because everyone was all about how, like, what I've achieved and what I've done, it pulled you into, I have to be like that. A lot of us are not connected to ourselves. We don't turn within. That's why it's so difficult. It's a training that needs to, which is why in terms of the process that I use, I don't move forward until you learn how to tune into what's going on with you, because your mind is always taking you into strategizing of what you need to do next and where you need to go and where you need to be. You're not connected to yourself. You're on this rat race trying to, hopefully when you get to that next level or when you achieve that next milestone, you'll feel complete, and you never do, because completeness happens from the inside out, not the outside in. So
do you think that most professional women suffer this, like, experience? Oh. Why? We such a, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like our mind is so active that we should be the one who get this, but we're not.
I think getting it intellectually and applying it is two different things. If your brain is trying to survive in a world where you feel like you need to prove yourself, women have still got this generational pain of, we weren't allowed to do this and men are second guessing us and all of this, like, stuff that sometimes we're projecting into our situation. So we're almost turning into men in order for us to be respected, to be accomplished. So we lose ourselves. So you're constantly thinking which woman is out to get you, which woman is going to stab you in your back, which man is undermining you and patronizing you. You're not ever just tuning into you. Like maybe you just want to take a few weeks. Like I've taken 3 months off of not doing no work because that's what I felt like I needed to do. And I did it. That is ludicrous for some people. They can't fathom or imagine being able to do that, but they're not. And then they get burned out and then they're forced to take time out because they pushed themselves too far. It's a human issue and it takes a lot. And usually it's crisis that gets people to a point where they're just like, this isn't working. I need to do something else. And unfortunately, as humans, we tend to be motivated by pain. We'll continue with the discomfort of our patterns and the way that we live life, because at least we know it. Like stepping outside of that, again, your mind can only protect you with data that it has. So you trying to do something new, your mind is going to say to you, we're going to die. So even though you're like, I want something else, I want to break my pattern, everything in you is like, hold on, I've got the friends I have in my life, I've got the success I have in my career, I have everything that I've created based on this pattern. So if I step outside of it, I'm going to lose everything. It's not the truth, but you don't have any ever evidence that you're not going to. So it's easier to keep slipping back into old patterns.
That is true. I can totally see me doing that. And I am doing that. So I'm working on it. That's awesome. Linda, thank you so much for taking your time to speak with me. I know you have a women's circle later, so we have to cut it short. Again, I wanted to make sure that everybody can join your next program, because right now they can't just come in, right? Because it's like a full program, the schedule's already set. So the next one for them to join would be November this year. But you would still take one-on-one clients at this point? Okay.
We'll still take one-on-one clients. I'll have a conversation. If someone's interested in joining the program, they can get in touch with me. We can speak about what they're working with. Not everyone is a fit. Some people need to go do some therapy before this because this is too intense. So I like the calls, connection calls are for me to assess where people are. I'm usually turn away more people than I work with. So I would encourage them, anyone that is interested in exploring more, to just reach out to me. We'll jump on a call, we'll have a conversation, and we'll see if it's a good fit. And if so, what is the best way to start working, whether it's one-on-one, waiting for the group program, joining the online circles, or whatever the case may be.
Okay. And the online circle, can they still do it anytime? Or yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime they could. Okay. And then online circle for them to join, is there a link or is also on your website?
There's a link. It's okay. A subscription. It's like a really, I'm trying to make it accessible. So it's a lower ticket subscription that will give people a taste of me without committing to the full program. It's a call every other week and they can join, they can listen and be an observer if people get coached, or they can put themselves up for coaching.
Got it. Okay. So if they go on your website, they can find a link for joining the online Soko online training, and that one you can join anytime. So we don't have to wait till November for that program. And then that one, they also can listening or Can they talk to you? Can they send you a message if they have any question and stuff?
Yeah, so because that one is a group right now, because I only started it last week, it's intimate. So everyone is getting coached on the call. It's an hour and a half call. As it starts to grow, then what happens is I send a request out on the Monday before the call, which is every Thursday, for people to send in what they, if they nominate themselves, if they want coaching, and to tell me what they want coaching on. And then I might select a few people to coach, but I advise other people to listen in and to pull the coach into themselves, because we're all the same. So it's a really, I think what people get surprised about is how similar they are to the people that are getting coached. So it's just a good way for people who are either shy or not sure whether they'd be comfortable about being vulnerable to be in a group setting where there's no pressure to share, but they can listen to others, which then usually encourages them because they feel the safety through familiarity.
Okay, that's perfect. That's great. So everyone, you know, if you can't wait to jump on this, look at the online training right now. And then so that way we don't have to wait till November. Thank you so much, Linda. And I will see you next month.
See you next month.